Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I look forward to this conversation every time he joins us. I mean, how often do we get to talk to a Super Bowl coach, Jeff? Does this ever happen to us?
Not often enough.
And somehow...
Mike should join us every day.
Yeah, somehow, some way, he etches out a little bit of time for us to speak, and we appreciate him because he makes us smarter every time we talk to him. And he's got a book coming out here eventually. Let's bring in Mike Martz. He is on the Fan Hotline. Hi, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Hey, good. Mike. How's the book coming along? Third and long, right?
Yeah, third and long, just about done. Should be done probably by the end of January. Just kind of reviewing the last few chapters and cleaning it up, and then we'll get it out to publish.
Just in time for Valentine's Day, so if you truly love someone, you will go out and buy third and long.
Right.
I know it's what my wife would want, Mike.
Yeah, sure, right. Yeah, can't put it down, yeah, right.
All right, so tell me this. I like Kevin Stefanski. I think Kevin can coach. You've said that Kevin can coach. He's a good play caller. He's about to have another rough year in a row. How do organizations, how should they balance? Okay, we have a good coach, but you've had a rough one-loss record for a couple of years, and you're dealing with a roster that might not be talented enough to win big. How should teams handle that?
I think the logic behind it is pretty clear. I mean, there's no question he's a very good coach, and to find a guy like him, who you can replace him with is better. You know, you need to look at that part of it too. So you're taking a chance on any young coach, and, you know, he's very good. He's a very, very solid coach. He's the intimate details of the game that his staff, they coach, they do a good job. But I think they've had some major personnel issues that's affected them. And I think they're coming out the backside of this. So it just wouldn't make sense to me to make a change just as they're starting to see some sunshine here, the chance of getting this thing going again.
It just seems like he's in a weird spot. Jeff and I think we both agree on this, that if for some reason they should part ways with Kevin, Kevin wouldn't have much trouble finding another head coaching job next year, especially knowing the candidates that are out there after you, by the way. They should hire you first, and then they should look at anybody else who's out there.
he's good in so many areas. I just love his demeanor. He's calm. Nothing is off the cuff. Everything is really thought through well. His guys are very well schooled in the details of the game. I think he's a very disciplined guy. It provides good leadership. He's got to make sure he gets what he needs to win.
Does he have it now at quarterback? What have you thought of Shedeur Sanders from what you've seen
I
do. So far?
I was a fan of Shedeur's coming out. It's a very complicated situation. Shedeur has never had adversity, I don't believe, in his career. I think he needed to go through this. I think it was important that he goes through this. I think you have to look at where he was and how he got here. I think Shedeur in college, and it's a criticism, but it's a very accurate criticism. He didn't get any coaching. Well, to his credit, whatever plays they ran, he just figured it out. And he didn't just figure it out. He did very well with that. That's very unusual. I kind of know what they were doing, and they just kind of let him go. And to survive and do well in that environment is pretty amazing. The problem with that is it gives you this false sense of you got the answers. You know what I mean? And so when you come into the NFL with that background, you're not going to take the details and the coaching that you've got to have to be successful in the NFL. I don't know this, but just from looking at it from afar, I think he probably wasn't the most coachable guy in the world when he came in. And don't think he probably really appreciated how important it was to really study and know the details of your opponent and your position. I'm just looking at his footwork. Has been awful. He's never been coached. And now they're trying to coach him. And I think he probably a little bit of pushback because he didn't see the value in it. And I think he understands it now. I think he had to go through that whole transition. I think Kevin handled it the right way. I really do. The discipline and holding his face to the fire a little bit and making him do it right. He got his opportunity in that first game. Yeah, he came in for that first game. I see not what you guys were talking about, you know?
Yeah.
So his approach to the game, I think, now has changed. And, of course, he had a great outing here last week and whatnot. But he's going to be a great player. And I think that there's a certain amount of respect between the two of them that you got to be able to appreciate. And I looked at his interview after the game, Shadur's, and, you know, they tried to get him to blame the coach on the two-point play and all that kind of stuff, and he blew that away. He did a real good job with it. So I think there's a maturity line that he's on right now. He's much more mature, I think, than he was at the beginning of the season. I think he gets it a lot better. I think a lot of good things are going to come out of him here in the years to come.
Mike, just kind of digging a little bit deeper into that, and I, you know, you look at your resume, and I don't know, not sure if you had to deal with it or not, but guys that played for their father all along the way, or a close relative, I guess, maybe even probably more your father, but is that transition different than any other kid that you would see from high school to college to the pros, especially? Like, I'm just trying to think of how many guys actually played for their father in college. That it just doesn't happen that often.
No, but I'm not aware. I think there's a good and a bad thing. The good thing is he's given him so much confidence and he's so sure of himself and he has the ability to be a terrific player. So, you know, his dad believes in him and it's just absolutely awesome that he has this confidence and this energy and this love for the game. I think a lot of it comes from his dad. The bad news is, you know, he can do no wrong. Well, he can't, mm-hmm. You know. And he skipped some real important steps in his development that'll make him a great player in this league. And now he's got to get caught up. And I think Deion's going to have to, or Coach Prime, whatever we call him, is going to have to be a little bit patient with that part of it too. And I think he gets frustrated because, hey, just put him in there and play like you did at Colorado. It doesn't work that way, Prime.
I think it's really interesting. You developed a couple of quarterbacks who people passed over, Mark Bulger, Kurt Warner. And you had success with those guys. How do you do that? How do you take guys that other folks saw the flaws in and bring them to the top, Mike?
So Trent Green, Mark Bulger, Kurt Warner, those kind of guys that have a common quality, they've all been beat down. The first thing is they're good enough. They're tough guys. They're smart guys. They're accurate. And they're motivated. They have a passion. They just won't stay down. And that kind of fight in him is really important. You know, it's really important to make it. And so they're so coachable. They can't wait to get into the room to learn something and what's next, coach, you know, that kind of thing. And all three of those guys became really good players, but they all had that common thread, you know, and they're very accurate, very, very competitive, but they've been all been beat down. And Shadur went through a microcosm of that a little bit. He got kind of pushed down here a little bit. You need to go through that. You do. You need to go through those rough spots in your career and in your life to appreciate and get better, you know? So those guys were all just, you know, labeled as backups at best. And I just hate that because, you know, like Ryan Fitzpatrick, we drafted in the seventh round. And unfortunately, I left, and I told Ryan when I left that he's got a chance of being a terrific player, but people just saw him as a backup. You know, and unless you're 6'4 these days or you run this fabulous 40 or whatever, it's about winning, moving the team, and completing the ball, you know. And you know, that appreciation of the game and the passion for the game is exciting to see in guys like that.
I mean, you said it feels like the Browns are going in the right direction. They're moving forward here, too. If you're Andrew Berry, the general manager – And you had, I mean, they had a pretty good draft. Every one of their guys that they drafted this year has started at least, you know, one, two, maybe at least two games. No, it started multiple games now that I think about it. If you're sitting in the general manager spot in Cleveland, what do you think? I always tend to think that if the owner took the responsibility of making the Deshaun Watson trade, that, you know, he lost three first-round picks. It's hard to overcome that, I think, as a general manager. And so is the rope – not the rope, but does he have a little bit more play to be able to return next year as a general manager?
Well, look at Trey Lance in San Francisco. You know, that was a horrible pick, and they moved up. And you know, that's a good general manager out there. So, I mean, those you're going to make those mistakes. It happens. Every team in the league has made a mistake like that. Maybe not to that. You know, they're all different, but they all make mistakes. And I think he's a terrific evaluator of talent. When the Deshaun Watson thing happened, I understood it. He had that great year down there. But, you know, buyer beware on those numbers, because a lot of it was just running around and escaping and, you know, impromptu stuff. And, you know, you learn from that stuff. And the hardest thing in the league is to evaluate quarterbacks. And you got 32 teams that do it. And you have 32 different ideas of what it should look like. And they all get it wrong at some time. So, you know, San Francisco, their starter, when was he drafted? Sixth round or whatever? And
seventh.
Yeah, seventh round. So there you go, Brady. So, you know, if everybody absolutely had a, you know, the keys to the kingdom on that deal, then they wouldn't make those mistakes. Move on. You know, he's a good GM. He knows what he's doing. He made a mistake. Move on.
Mike, if you're the Browns and you've seen what you've seen of Shador, if he can replicate that in, you know, 50% of the time in the final four games, do you think it's a priority to bring in another quarterback next year, and specifically in the first round of the draft? Or would you be comfortable going into the season with Shador, with Deshaun Watson, who has one more year of a contract, and Dylan Gabriel or Brady Zappe or somebody else they would bring in?
I just don't know enough about Gabriel. I think, you know, a lot of guys in their first year will struggle and then become good players. You know, Carolina, there's proof there. I just don't know enough about him. And if I think he can be a starter and a real good player to keep, you know, that's your guy, that's your backup, and you feel good about having two guys that can start. And that's what you're aiming for. Deshaun Watson, yeah, I don't know what to tell you about that. He's done. You know, he's just done. You got to have a potential starter as a backup. And if you don't have it there, you better get one.
Mm-mm-mm. Hey, I just want to get your take here, just because we have a couple minutes left, too. You're taking on where we are with college football right now, and we hit the bowl season, and teams like Notre Dame saying, look, you know what? We were number 11. We probably should have been in the playoffs. We're not going to go play. And, you know, we've had a couple, you know, two Big 12 teams decided not to play in bowl games. I mean, you spent so many years in college, in the college game. I'm just curious your thoughts on that.
There's just too many bowl games, guys. Come on. How many are there? 55,000 or something? I mean,
thank you, Mike.
I mean, there's too many bowl games. I mean, they lose their importance and their shine, you know. I was coaching college football when you went to a bowl game. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
Now everybody goes to a bowl game. You know, everybody gets a trophy.
I
don't blame them for stepping out of that. I don't blame them for doing – I really don't. I understand their frustration, and if that's how the university feels, the players and the coaching staff, I mean, may or may not agree with it. That's their stance. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm with Notre Dame on this. I do think it's interesting when you're sitting in a conference and you're looking at a $500,000 fine for not taking it, because you're not – I don't know. I can't remember if the Big 12, how they split their money out. But, like, in the Big 10, if you said no, I'm sure the other guys would be upset about it.
Yeah, Notre Dame and Stanford, Michigan, those universities, the endowments that they have are just astronomical. That's like flicking a fly off your shoulder.
That's true.
Mike, the Browns have had some offensive line issues. You have some injuries. You have some aging. You have some ineffectiveness. Yes. How long does it take to rebuild a line?
You can do it in a year, but you've got to get some free agents, and you have to draft well. Hopefully it's a good year, and I don't know if it is or not with offensive linemen, but the center on any team, any good football team, the most important position to start and build a winning team is in the offensive line. I promise you that. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a good offensive line, I don't care how good you are on defense or how good your quarterback is, you're just not going to get it done. And everything centers around the offensive line, and I've maintained that my whole career, and I'll go to my grave maintaining. People just don't get it. you've got to be good in the offensive line to have a chance to be a champion team.
Mike, as always, you know we enjoy talking to you. I always feel smarter when we talk to you. And we want to remind folks that when Valentine's Day rolls around, the best way to say I love you is to buy his book coming out, Third and Long.
I appreciate you guys. A lot of fun talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Alrighty.
There you go. Coach Mike Martz joining us on Baskin and Phelps.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Martz, the maestro of the greatest show on turf, was nice enough to join us in the noon hour. So was Daryl Ryder. He joined us at 11:40 and Mary Kay Cabot at 11 o'clock. In fact, we're still in the noon hour. And if you want to go back and listen to those, Radio Rewind on the Odyssey app is there for you if you want to hear any of the interviews that we do throughout the show or any of the other shows that do interviews as well. Or if you want to hear some witty repartee between our other friends on other shows, you feel free to go there and do that. Mike Martz dropped all kinds of nuggets of knowledge for us. As we try to, you know, dissect exactly what we're watching with the Browns. One of the things that he had talked about was Shedeur Sanders and this learning process that he's kind of going through right now.
Shedeur has never had adversity, I don't believe, in his career. I think he needed to go through this. I think it was important that he goes through this. I think you have to look at where he was and how he got here. I think Shedeur in college, and it's a criticism, but it's a very accurate criticism. He didn't get any coaching. Well, to his credit, whatever plays they ran, he just figured it out. And he didn't just figure it out. He did very well with that. That's very unusual. I kind of know what they were doing, and they just kind of let him go. And to survive and do well in that environment is pretty amazing. The problem with that is it gives you this false sense of, You got the answers, you know what I mean? And so when you come into the NFL with that background, you're not going to take the details and the coaching that you've got to have to be successful in the NFL. I don't know this, but just from looking at it from afar, I think he probably wasn't the most coachable guy in the world when he came in. And don't think he probably really appreciated how important it was to really study and know the details of your opponent and your position. I'm just looking at his footwork. Has been awful. He's never been coached. And now they're trying to coach him. And I think he probably, a little bit of pushback because he didn't see the value in it. And I think he understands it now. And I think he had to go through that whole transition. I think Kevin handled it the right way. I really do. The discipline and holding his face to the fire a little bit and making him do it right. He got his opportunity in that first game.
Interesting, because we're talking about a former NFL coach saying some of the things that maybe perhaps they were seeing in Berea.
And a coach with a track record of working with quarterbacks who other teams had passed on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, I keep going back to one of the first phone calls we got today saying, well, why can't we bring Prime here to coach the Browns? If you listen to what Mike Martz just said, that would probably be one of the worst things they could possibly do for his development at this point in his career.
Remember, his offensive coordinator, his last year was Pat Shurmur.
Right.
The year before, he was an offensive analyst and co-offensive coordinator. So that's not a very...
Well, that's why I asked that somebody who said, I think it might have been the same guy, said, well, would you want Pat Shurmur back as your head coach?
No, I don't think so.
If you brought Deion in as your general manager, you know, I don't think that's the right course of action. I definitely don't think it's right for him. Hey, I don't think it's right for Shador's development.
Deion's done a nice job at Colorado, and he has always coached his son. You know, in high school, Deion was the offensive coordinator. Then they went to college together, and then they moved to Colorado together. And, okay, if you're playing for your dad, who was a phenomenal offensive or defensive player, you're probably not going to learn everything you need to learn about playing the quarterback spot. That's okay. But now he's working with Bill Musgrave, really good quarterback coach. He's working with other guys, Tommy Rees, who was a quarterback in college, was an offensive coordinator at a very high level in college, Notre Dame and Alabama.
Sure.
And Kevin Stefanski, who has been an offensive coach for most of his career and by most accounts, a good one. And he's learning some different things. Guess what? That's good. And it goes back to something that we've mentioned before, Andy, and the Shador fans, and I love their passion, but it's this. If you just heard what Mike Martz said, maybe they needed to coach him up before they actually put him on the football field. You know what I mean?
Yeah, get him to where he's
more NFL ready.
He
can succeed.
I also think that there's kind of I just want to make sure I say this the way I want to say it. That there's a generational gap of new quarterbacks coming into the league, and there should be the way you're looking at it, because we now have a generation of quarterbacks coming into the league that have a much different perspective than quarterbacks of the past. I'm not saying
because they were getting paid in college.
Well,
big money?
I'm not saying
social media influences are huge.
I think there's a number of things here. One, not a lot of quarterbacks that came out prior to the last, 5 years were really free agents at the end of every season in college. That it just didn't work. Remember, I mean, it wasn't that long ago where a quarterback had to either play down a level or sit out a year before they could come back and play somewhere else. It wasn't that long ago. And now we are in a generation where that is a factor, where guys are getting paid big bucks over the table, not under the table, over the table. Fans, people know what they're making in NIL. And that's another point. We've never really had a generation of quarterbacks that had to be recruited by their own coach at the end of the season the way this generation is. So when Mike Martz says, you know what, maybe things weren't perfect when Shador got here, right? You know, you're talking about having to be coached up and be coached the way you've never had before, because in some situations, and did you ever play for your father? Did you ever have a kid play for you? And none of us, most of us, almost 99.9% are going to say not at the professional level, right? We don't get it. We don't, even at major college level, who's talking about that, right? I'm just trying. Bobby Knight had his kid. I'm just kind of going through some of that. There just aren't a lot of that. That situation just doesn't exist. It really doesn't.
You know, the one thing, Andy, that I thought it was interesting. Mike Martz was real clear. Really likes Kevin Stefanski as a coach. Really likes Shador. Doesn't like Deshaun Watson.
He made that apparent.
And at least now where he is. And Thinks you better have an offensive line. And that was all pretty blunt. I keep going back to this with Shador. And I think it's this way in pro sports all the way around. We get a lot of callers who are living in the past and the not too distant past. You know, well, they didn't put him on the field. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. They didn't like him, blah, 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 blah. I prefer to look at it this way. Where are you now? Where are you now? Right now, Shador is the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Isn't that the end of the story? Whatever happened in the past, it worked.
To get him where he needed to be? Is that what you're saying?
Whatever it was. Whether it was to get him where it needed to be, whether it was Dylan going out and not performing real well to get his job back after the concussion, which he wasn't out for very long.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Musgrave doing a good job. Tommy Rees doing a good job. Shador doing a good job. Whatever happened before, I don't think matters. And we have a lot of fans who are living in the past on this. You know, since they've drafted him, they haven't done this. They haven't done that. What do you mean they haven't done that? Where he is right now, he's the starting quarterback of the Browns. So whatever it was they did in the past put him in this position to where he could have, and he had a huge part of it, if not the biggest part. I think he did. 360-yard passing game, 3 touchdowns, some nice passes.
And a run.
And a lot of intrigue. You know, a lot of intrigue around this guy. I can't wait until I see the pinpoint accuracy I keep hearing about on display on a regular basis. If it's there, Browns really have something.
The other part here is whether it doesn't really matter how you look at it. He had the opportunity to say hike when Gabriel had a concussion. Not that Gabriel wanted a concussion. He got the opportunity to go out there and take it. And then he captured the position. I think that's important to note. He captured it because Gabriel came out of concussion protocol. And how many, you can't lose your job to injury? You bet you can. Absolutely you can. And so, you know, Sanders took over from that point. I want to see more. Every week we watch him. And last week he proved it again. I want to see more. I want to see more every week from Sanders. And I want to see how he grows into this position. And you know what? If he was irritated when he got here, can you understand it? I don't know. When's the last time he didn't start a game in his entire career? So
probably never.
Yeah, and so I mean,
which is the case for most of these guys.
True. And now all of a sudden you find yourself in that. Well, we want you to learn a little. Want me to learn, man? When I was playing peewee football, I'm the guy they pick first. When I got to high school, they handed me the ball. I didn't wait for anybody. I started when I was a freshman. And then when I picked the college, I went to a school where I knew I was going to start right away. Why would I want to wait? Now all of a sudden you're in a league where they pay you a lot more money. Well, I don't know, but then I yell. But yeah, they're paying me a lot more money now.
Yeah,
This is about money, and this is a business.
Pay cut to come here, and I'm not even starting.
So I mean, I get it. If he was frustrated, or as Coach Mart said, you know, the coachability standpoint of that, I get it. I understand it.
And by the way, there's the confidence factor. I want a quarterback who has confidence. You can't be cocky to the point of being uncoachable. That does not appear to be the case here. But you know, Mike Martz
made it sound like it was in the beginning.
Might have been.
Yeah.
But not now. Whatever it was, Andy, all that stuff is in the rearview mirror now. Right now the guy has a clear path to being the quarterback of this team for the near and distant future. And we'll see where it goes.
Tim Tebow is just moments away. We're going to talk to him. I want to talk a little Cavs here before we get to that, too. So, but Tim Tebow is going to join us. Looking forward to talking to the ESPN college football analyst. That's coming up on Baskin and Phelps.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or dsw.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. The problem I'm having right now, Jeff, is trying to go, what?
I'm laughing at Menigan laughing at me.
I thought you were laughing at me because...
That end of it of you going, so do it, felt like, shut up and stream. What's wrong with you?
Oh, that's not how I felt. I thought he was like, Andy, start talking so I don't have to talk anymore because I'm stretching out the beginning. But then I'm sitting here trying to do everything. Do you know how hard and difficult it is to try to do everything with your left hand when you're right-handed?
It's a pain.
And then I have to use my left hand to move my right hand to places. It is the most bizarre feeling in the world. Like, I can't, when I went to go, anyway, if you don't know, I have a crack. What do I have? Cracked. I have a cracked shoulder blade. Shoulder Dana. On the side of my arm. It's cracked. Yes.
Have we heard more about Andy and his shoulder, or me when I had my entire hip chiseled out of my body and replaced by titanium?
But it wasn't affecting the show. That's the problem. You sit.
It might have been a little, but that's beside the point.
You guys are mean, man.
Jeff, I have said nothing. I should not be lumped in with that man.
All I know is I felt for you.
I don't want to talk about it, but it's like I'm sitting here, I'm trying to get the computer fired up.
I don't want to talk about it.
But I've got to do it with my left hand.
Come on.
What?
You're wearing a fuchsia-colored sling just so that everybody
fuchsia?
Can see it.
I wear black all the time because when you're a big fat like I am.
You're looking good, by the way. You've lost.
You wear black
you're
all the time.
Good.
No, it's an optical illusion. Do you not realize that? And so then here's the other thing.
Like, what, you look thinner when you're in a sling? Is that an illusion?
I don't know. It's black.
Put one on the other arm.
Oh, that'd be great. It'd
be fun to watch you do the show.
Why don't I just connect them together and put them in the straitjacket that I belong in?
We're on YouTube. Fearless Leader can put some of those clips up.
I'm trying to reach the computer with my left hand, but then I've got to reach over my right arm to get it done. And I'm like trying to answer the phone, and then like you're trying to start the segment, and I'm coming back, and I'm just trying to turn my microphone on, but I've got to go with my left hand because my right hand is going in the wrong direction.
Do you want me to start being in charge of the mics and answering the phone for
no,
you?
No, why would I want to do that? So the other option is to release.
That's an honest question. That's not me trying to be a jerk. I can help you with
no,
that.
I know
so
you can,
to.
But the other option is for me to release the sling. And just, you know, use my arm in the minimal way that I'm allowed to use it right now. But then I'm slowing down the process of having to wear this brace for like 10 to 12 weeks.
Was it Ken who came into the studio that one day and it had just happened to you? And you were wearing a sling, but it's black and it blends in with everything else. And was just getting ready to slap you on the shoulder. Was that Ken or was that Nick?
Oh, no. Ken, actually, we were doing.
Because you went. Ah!
Oh, no, it was
you
Nick. I'm like,
down,
don't touch
man.
Me. I'm like, my kid went to go give me a hug this morning, and I was like, I love you, man, but no. I'm like, Storm, move away. And he's like, oh, you feel bad. It is the most bizarre pain I've ever had in my life. I feel bad for anybody that has to go through this for an extended period of time, like myself. And then you got to wear it so people don't come with you. Hey, what's up, buddy? Ah!
Yeah, but people can't see it because it blends in with what you're wearing.
Is that what the problem is?
Yes.
So cover it in stickers?
Lime green. Make it lime green and people are going to see it.
I mean, there's a giant hospital logo on this. I may as well just put a shirt on. You know, it's great. I should just start wearing t-shirts that say Browns Radio Network because I forgot the other sponsor on my other arm. By the way, the Junior Browns backers. No, I'm just kidding.
Dude wipes. We love your Browns.
Hey, listen. I'm going to tell you this. When you don't have full access to your arm, that was not a bad invention.
Move along, Nady.
I'm just saying. I am just saying, man. You sit here and you laugh.
Stop.
What?
Fired.
I'm giving them an unpaid testimonial.
Don't.
Are there any bidet companies in the area that need a sponsor? Andy can be your guy.
I'm just saying.
A meeting.
I'm just saying, if you are looking for
a
great...
I'm Andy Baskin here for bidets.
I'm just saying, if you're looking for a stocking stuffer, that wipe company is a good way to go.
Don't get us pulled into a meeting.
It's not a meeting.
Tell them Andy
said it's not
you.
A meeting. They're friends with our friends, right? Are they not friends with our friends?
Okay.
And that makes them a friend of ours. Speaking of friends of our friends, can we please congratulate.
Good Lord.
Congratulate Paul Hoynes. We will have him on a show as soon as he realizes that he gets text messages. Very soon. He is the...
Dude!
What?
Oh, blowtorch our friends.
I'm not blowtorching him.
Hoynes' phone's blowing up today. He's going to get back to us eventually.
We've been on the air, what, 14 years? Is it 14 years or more than that, Jeff?
Good Lord, it's 14 years.
It's 14 years. It took Jeff 11 to get a smartphone. Can we, give Hoynes a little respect here?
That's actually fairly close.
Okay, so let's give Hoynes a little credit here. Let's give him credit.
Yeah.
Because he is he being inducted into the Hall of Fame or is he in the Hall of Fame?
No, he's getting the Baseball Writers of America Career Excellence Award and it will be presented at the Hall of Fame induction, at the Hall of Fame induction week.
Okay, so if he's a part of Hall of Fame induction
week. It's
like
Tom Hamilton last year. Tom's not actually in the Hall of Fame. He was the Ford Frick Award winner. So there will be there's recognition of Tom at the Hall of Fame and deservedly so. And it'll be the same with Hoynesy.
So is this the writer's equivalent of the Ford Frick?
Yeah, I do believe it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can't we say he's in the Hall of Fame?
You'd technically be incorrect, but yes, you can say it.
Is there a plaque in the building with his name on it?
That I don't know. Like, Tom's not in the Hall of Fame, but he's the Ford Frick Award winner. And in the Hall of Fame, it says who the Ford Frick Award winners are. And deservedly so for both of those guys. I have always admired and appreciated Hoynesy's beat writing. I think he's outstanding. And there are different guys have different writing styles. And Hoynesy, to me, has always written like you're sitting next to him talking about a game or talking about a team. And he mixes in intelligence and humor and bluntness that I really love in his writing.
Hmm.
And I think
that's fair.
I think it's a great combination. Hoynesy gets to the point, explains it beautifully, and does it with some style, and I really appreciate it.
We were lucky for so many years to have like that. I mean, we had the Mount Rushmore of writers in town, right? Jim Ingram, Paul Hoynes.
Jim's still doing a great job for the Chronicle-Telegram.
I just saw him last Sunday. He was at the game.
You can read his work at brownzone.com with Scott.
Mm. And then
Jim's awesome.
He does. And then Sheldon Oker. They were the Mount Rushmore of baseball writers.
I saw Sheldon a few months ago.
How's he doing?
He's doing great.
That's all he's just
great
doing.
Great dude. Here. Still writing. Still editing.
I hope that...
Writing for a community newspaper in Summit County.
Because
he wants something to do.
I mean, you think about all the writers. I don't want to put Hoynesy out to pasture yet because I think he's great. But, I mean, think about all the great writers we've had in this town. It's hard not to walk by the wall in the press box at the football stadium or in baseball, too, and see all the great writers. Baseball has more of a national feel when you look at the writers' pictures who are on the wall there. But... here in Cleveland, you see all the great voices of the team, all the great writers. Hal Leibovitz, another one. I'm just trying to think of all those things. But I'm excited that our friend is now being put into
me too.
The base. I'm sorry, he's in the Hall of Fame.
He's a Hall of Fame writer. To start working in town when some of those great guys were still writing. Hal was still writing. Chuck Heaton, perhaps the greatest gentleman I've ever met in our business. Father of Michael and Patricia.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck was just such a gentleman and such a good man. I really, really enjoyed my times talking to Chuck.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we've had so many, great. I ran into Tim Rogers, the great golf writer from town. And Bob Roberts, who wrote about horse racing forever.
I miss reading Bill Livingston.
Yeah, I do too. You know why I liked Bill too?
Bill could just put words together, man.
I used to always run into Bill in Columbus too because he loved covering the Buckeyes.
Yeah. But
Bill just had like this.
Bill was a 76ers beat writer for a long time.
Oh, was he? Okay.
And he was really good on the NBA beat in Philly. And when he came here, he did all kinds of stuff. But when Bill wrote a golf column, oh man, he was awesome. And I thought all of his work was great. But when Bill wrote golf, man, I made sure I read it. Had to read it. He was phenomenal.
There was always just kind of I like the fact that he had no fear. I think that was the thing about Bill. There was just no fear to his writing ever. And when he asked the question, you were like, wow, okay.
And we're fortunate now to still have some really top-notch people.
We are too.
Terry Pluto's phenomenal.
Yeah. I love reading Jeff Shaddell stuff. I like listening
to Jeff.
Jeff
gets to the point, and Jeff does it with
he asks Jeff questions makes, he that makes nobody else asks.
Yes, Jeff's writing makes you think.
And he's not scared to ask a question. Mm-hmm. Like, I listen to these Browns press conferences, and when Jeff pops in and asks a question, you're like, wow, maybe I was thinking that. I just didn't think anyone would ask it. And he asks it. I don't know. I like it. We've got some good young writers here, too, in town.
Absolutely.
Guys that are getting better. Guys and gals that are... that I enjoy reading too, but let's get back to the point here that Hoynsey is going to be inducted.
Yep.
So I'm excited for him. I'm sure the Guardians will do something nice for him. Don't you think?
I hope he has something better to do than listen to us right now, but well-deserved, Paul.
Yes. Bravo. Bravo. We are proud of you. So, when we come back, we're going to talk to Tim Tebow. I'm looking forward to this conversation with Tim. Obviously a guy that kind of gets it when it comes to fandom and playing sports and being highly recruited.
Having a following before you ever hit the pros.
And then, knowing what happened to him when he hit the pros, though, was a little different. And that the critics got loud, real loud on him.
Real fast.
Yeah. It didn't take very long. So let's hear from Tim Tebow. We're going to bring him in next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Tim Tebow next, Baskin and Phelps.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, From crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more, our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.